Welcome to the Grace Podcast, your destination for spiritual inspiration and community connection. We're thrilled to have you join us on this journey of faith, where we delve into the profound teachings of Jesus Christ and explore what it means to live a life filled with love, grace, and purpose. Each episode, we invite you to join us as we hear from our beloved pastors, as well as esteemed guest pastors, who share their wisdom, insights, and personal reflections on navigating life's challenges with faith and resilience. Whether you're a longtime member of our congregation or a curious seeker exploring your spiritual path, the Grace Podcast offers a welcoming space for you to grow in your relationship with God and deepen your connection with our community. Thank you for listening to the Grace Podcast. You can find out more about our church at www.gracecolorado.com.
For the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us, we proclaim back, thanks be to God. There wouldn't be a better text for dying to ego, would there? Fools! I don't know about you, but I grew up in southern Indiana. If someone walked up to me and called me a fool, guess what, friends? It's fighting time. Those are fighting words. Fool? Seriously? You're going to come at me with that? And here's the thing. In Hebrew, this ancient language that the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, was written in, fool is even worse than how we perceive it, okay? Now, so we all grew up in this kind of Christian era and church and the Bible, and we kind of anesthetize everything, and it's all kind of Puritan, and we're like, oh, it's the Bible, and it's all sweet and nice and all those kinds of things. It's not, friend. It's not sweet. It's not nice. And right in the heart of it are all of these really terrible words, okay? We would call them curse words or cuss words, right? We would use these words as like slurs against people, okay? And the Bible contains all of this. This word fool here is one of those words. It's one of those words that you would look at your kids and go, you can't ever use this word. Of course, then they go off and use that word all over the place, right? But it'd be like, you can't use this word in public. And yet, the word is right there, okay? And we translate it as fool, but I want you to like multiply that by 50, okay? And then you get the impact of the word, okay? And then you go, well, what's this doing right here in the middle of Scripture, right? And particularly to start off a psalm. And here's the thing, friends. Here in 2024, looking at an ancient book like this, so often we come with all of our 21st century stuff with it, okay? And so we come to the text going, we are rational, logical, scientific beings going to open up a text, and we're going to approach it that way. So let us analyze the text today as good Presbyterians, right? And let's find meaning in this and make sure it's all logical and rational and all of these things. Here's the thing. Particularly in the Psalms, all of that gets thrown out the door. When you come to the Psalms, what you're getting are real human beings with their real life prayers, all of their emotions, all of their feelings, and pouring it out to God. And lots of times it's happening in a tirade and a shout. The person is upset and going, God, are you going to do anything about this? Are you here, God? Right? We never do anything like that, do we? And yet right here, confirming for us our emotions and feelings, right here in the text, deep with our soul. And so it's not meant to be rational. It's not meant to be logical. You're not coming to the Psalms looking for like answers. You come to the Psalms willing to jump on the roller coaster of the soul that is there. Being willing to ride into Psalm 23 where there's nice, peaceful waters. We're sheep and God's the shepherd and God's taking care of us and God's going to pour out even more abundance to us, right? And then you turn over to Psalm 24, which I read just a few weeks ago, and you're like, that's nothing like Psalm 23. Or you come to Psalm 14 here and you go, man, that guy is mad, right? That guy is angry, the fool. No one's good. Everyone's That's a snowman. Whatever word is right there, right? Everyone's perverse. That's the other word it uses, right? Yeah, it literally puts everyone in the spot of like, no one's good. And how often have you and I been in that place where we're just like, everything and everyone is messed up and awful, and I just want it all to go away, right? We all get there in our lives. And here it is in Scripture, letting us know, hey, guess what? That's human, and that's real. And so often we, particularly we as Presbyterians, okay? In fact, I want you right now to get in your best Presbyterian stance in your chair. Oh, wait a minute, you already are. Right? Because we're good Presbyterians. We walk in, we sit, we're nice, right? I mean, some of us do this thing, right? Some of us are good at that too, right? But we all have our thing, right, that we do, right? And we're chill. But inside, we are foaming and fuming with emotion and feeling, aren't we? We have all kinds of stuff that we've encountered in the last week, that we've encountered across years, that sometimes we've encountered through decades, and we bring all of that in to worship. And sometimes we're looking around the world like the psalmist here and going, everyone is a fool. Everyone is a way, way, way worse word than fool as well. Right? And what do we do with a text like this? What happens when we look out and we go, there are so many injustices in the world. There's so many people taking advantage of others, taking advantage of me, taking advantage of whatever situation or whatever group, right? We have this deep sense that the world is not the way that it's supposed to be. It's really messed up right now. And we have a deep sense that that's probably because some people have put their self, their ego, up above where it should be. And when they do that, they're essentially saying, there is no God. Even if they acknowledge intellectually and logically that there is one, experientially, they're saying, there are no consequences for my actions. I'm in control. I am powerful. I will get my way. I will do my thing. And it doesn't matter who gets hurt in the process. And so the psalmist looks at these people, looks at this situation and goes, fool! And then looks out at people and goes, fools! Because there is a God. There is a good and powerful and mighty God. And even if you can't get fully into my Presbyterian, Protestant, Christian beliefs there, at least know that there's some sort of karmic energy that's going to come back around and kick you in the butt, right? Like, at least get that far and know that there are consequences to everyone's actions in the world. You can't just take advantage of people and it go unanswered. God is there. I want you to think about this God, right? This God of the psalmist is a different kind of God than what existed across the ancient world at the time. Those gods took advantage of people just kind of like these foolish people in the heart of the story. When we think about the Greek and Roman and Babylonian and Norse and all these different traditions from around the world, we look at all their mythologies. These are very human gods who basically go around taking advantage of people, right? But the psalmist God here, our God here, is not like that. Once you go all the way back to Genesis 1, who do we encounter when we encounter God? We encounter God as creator. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. What's another word for creator? Artist. God is presented to us first and foremost as artist, as creative, as imaginative, as one who creates a canvas. with all of its immense depth, diversity, beautiful brushstrokes, things that are not uniform, things that are not cut and dry and in a machine, right? This is creativity to the max. Now, some of you today, I'm going to pick on you for a moment, are artists, okay? And we all know you. You're odd ducks, right? You creative types, you are unique people. You're special, right? You are odd. You're a little weird, which, guess what, makes God a little weird. An odd duck, very unique. The God that we encounter in Scripture doesn't come at us the way a CEO comes at us, right? In fact, when CEOs read the Scripture, they go, I think I could have done a better job back here in this spot, right? But the artist goes, let it play out. I'm not done yet. You're only halfway through the painting. You're only halfway through the music right now. Wait for the whole thing to play out. I'm going somewhere with this. Some of my favorite artists and paintings is when it starts out and you go, I have absolutely no idea where this painting is going. And then they get towards the end and you're still like, I'm not sure what's happening here. And then literally in the last moments, the whole thing comes together and you're like, I had no idea that's what was about to happen right there. And it's gorgeous and beautiful and amazing. But there's even a deeper step for artists than that. The one where they're complete and we stand back in all of our logic and rationality and go, I don't understand. Because the artist, the creator, has done something that pushes through our rationality and logic. That pushes through all of that stuff, and we just have to stand back and be curious. Be open to the artist and the encounter to go, this artist created meaning, and now that meaning becomes its own thing for me to encounter and to interact with. Something beyond my knowledge, beyond me and my ego and how I understand the world. And that separation all of a sudden goes, I'm not in control. I don't know everything. I can't even understand everything about this artist, this creator, and this creation of the creator. And what that opens up in us, friends, is mystery. It opens up the unknown. It opens up this deep sense that we move from foolishness, which is claiming that we know and that we're powerful, and moves us to this place where we are in humility and go, oh God, teach me. Let me experience something new. It provides us a space and place for compassion, this space that we call, oh yeah, grace for ourselves, for one another, for what God is doing in our world. And all of a sudden, I go, I am the fool. I had no idea. And all these things that I would CEO into effect to fix the world, God's doing something way more incredible. Fools say there is no God. And yet we look at the artist and go, that is wonder-filled. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Podcast. If you want to learn more about Grace Presbyterian Church, visit www.gracecolorado.com.